This is the start of the October 10th, 1986 interview with Oyster Shuckers Virginia Duggar and her daughter Nanette Lawley. The interview is conducted at Duggar's home at 39 Thomas Drive in Apalachicola, Florida. The interviewer is David Taylor, and this interview is done in connection with the Maritime Heritage Survey Project. Two, three, four. Turn this on now. And could you tell me your name again?
Virginia Duggar.
How do you spell your last name?
D-U-G-G-A-R.
Okay.
And most people call it Duggar, but it's Duggar.
Is that a common family name around here?
Yes, there's a lot of Duggars here, mostly in Liberty County and Leon County.
Okay. Now, I know your first name is Nanette. Now, what is your last name?
Lolly.
Okay. And when's your birthday? When were you born?
You ain't supposed to ask me that. August 26, 63.
Okay. And how about you, Mrs. Carter?
September 21st, 1939.
Okay. And were both of you born here in this community?
Yep.
Yeah.
My husband, too.
Oh, yeah.
All of us.
My mother, his mother and father.
What does your husband do? Is he involved in fishing in any way?
Well, he spent most of his life. He oystered several years, but in the last 4 or 5 years, the bay has gone down a lot. So we got out of the shrimp, and I shrimped with him for about 4 years. And he now does maintenance work for Gulf Oil Distributors here in Appalachia.
Now, were your parents involved with fishing in any way?
No, sir. My grandparents were.
What kind of work did they do?
My grandfather mullet fished and did a little shrimping and just a little bit of oystering, but he was mostly a mullet fisher.
Now, I met you for the first time this morning down at Grady Levin's Oyster House. Is that the first place you've ever worked shucking oysters?
Now, I started out 23 years ago shucking for George Curvin, and since then he's gone out of business.
What was the name of his company?
Quality Seafood.
In fact, I just talked to him yesterday.
They still have a shrimp house. They used to have a steam house, which the oysters were steamed open, but they sold on fresh market. Then he had a draw house and a shrimp house. He had a seine boat and set away where they dry dock boats to repair them. My husband started working for him. This coming January, February, it'll be 26 years ago.
Wow.
Well, repairing and work shrimp boats.
Yeah. How did you happen to get started shucking oysters?
Well, I had 4 children, and I was about to go crazy, so I told my husband I had to get out and do something. And I had a neighbor that had a small oyster house, and she said if I want to come down, she'd show me how to do it. It's hard to believe I was born here, but until then, I had never been inside of an oyster house.
Well, would there have been other jobs that you could have done at that time to get out of the house?
Not much. Mostly, you know, I could have took clean house of somebody else, something like that, but at that time, I didn't even have a high school education.
Well, how about you, Nanette? How did you happen to get involved with shucking?
My husband oystered. He wanted me to shuck his oysters, but he didn't want me to learn on his oysters. So I started on his daddy's oysters called the big, they call them my oysters.
It's not when you started.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Seriously, it is.
Seriously, that's not where you really started learning how to shuck oysters.
Where was that?
You started after school to make you spending money.
Oh, yeah, in Cedar Key. Key, I'd go bang on daddy's oysters.
Yeah. You were in high school at the time?
Yeah, I was 15. And I started shucking after school and when we lived down there. And then when we got back down here, I waitressed. I didn't shuck no more. I waitressed after school.
You shucked a little.
Yeah. But I started doing it for a living whenever I got married, and I started shucking my father-in-law's oysters. And then I started shucking my husband's.
Well, why didn't your husband want you to practice on his oysters?
Because you cut them up and slice them up and
They don't turn out as good if you cut them.
So he'd be losing some money.
Right.
Yeah. And see, he was oystering on the East Point end where they catch the little cup oysters. And they're easier. You don't have as much room inside the shell to stick your knife. And these big mile oysters, you could, the big shell, you know, you didn't cut them quite as bad.
What does that mean, a mile oyster?
Off the lumps down here on the Appalachian end of the bay. Mm-hmm. They got the miles, and they call them lump oysters.
They're a larger oyster. They're a deeper cup oyster.
Yeah, big.
And they're in, most of them are in mud.
Mm-hmm.
The oysters over on East Point, majority of them are thinner shell oysters and a smaller oyster. Of course, you know, you have small and large oysters all over the bay.
But the East Point has got sand, got a gravel.
They
bottom.
Have a harder bottom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So your oysters down, what they call down the miles, which is the west end of Apalachicola Bay, are thicker shell.
Is the miles,
and they turn out better.
The miles, is that an oystering area where the beds
are? Right, I see, when we start to the west of Appalachia, you have what they call 2 miles over here on 98. And out at the curve where the road changes color, that's about 5 or 6 miles. And at the forks of the road, if you take the old road, there's a dirt road, that's 8 miles. And a little further down, there's a place the hurricane messed it up. But it used to be a good place, and a lot of the oystermen would leave their boats there and haul their motors back and forth every day. That's 9 miles.
It's 9 miles from what?
From Appalachia.
Okay, from the
town.
Okay,
that's the way your different places, dirt roads where you can go down and cast net, pick up oysters, and go crabbing at night and that kind of stuff. That's how you know where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, if you can think back 23 years, you can think back 6, what's the most important thing to learn to be a good shucker? How
not
do you learn?
Not cut your oyster.
Yeah.
The main thing is to learn how to open an oyster without cutting it first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you pick up your speed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Can you describe in words what you do? Or would you just show me?
Well, when I started out, we didn't have cracking machines. We didn't get cracking machines until, I guess I had shucked somewhere between 3 and 5 years before the cracking machines. And then it took a few more years after that before they really got popular.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Smith built the first cracking machines, like one I'm chucking on.
Mm-hmm.
Then in later years, let's see, about 9 years ago, Yuki Creamer designed the different one, which is really a much safer machine than the one I have. But you used to use a hammer and an iron block with a tip tongue thing on it.
Mm-hmm. Is that like what a couple of people have over there
right
now?
Yeah.
And you hold the oyster behind the block with the lip of the oyster on this raised up piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit across that thin part of the oyster with the hammer, which we have shucking hammers that's flat on both sides of the head. And the main thing is to keep the point of your knife up towards the top shell. Now, you have a top and a bottom to an oyster.
It's hard to tell.
90% of the time, the top of the oyster will be flatter. The bottom of the oyster will be rounder.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep your knife, point of your knife, and a tilted knife, tilted pointed knife is the best.
Mm-hmm.
That's because
and you bring it across that top shell. And then you flip the top shell off, and then you come under and you cut the bottom of the eye of the bottom shell. But if you're not particular to keep that knife kind of pushed up against the top of that top shell, then you'll cut your oyster. Your knife will go right through the belly part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fat
then
part.
It will bleed.
Mm-hmm.
When it bleeds, it loses its water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose your turnout.
Mm-hmm.
The shucker has to shuck more oysters to get a gallon, and the catcher won't get as many oysters per wheelbar or bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you learn to that when you decided that you wanted to do this?
Mama told me she wasn't giving me no more money, that I was going to have to go to work. So
mm-hmm.
she showed me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Except she had the machine and she gave me the hammer and the block.
Yeah.
That was a good way to teach them how a machine is dangerous if you're not used to shucking.
They make you real nervous.
So I usually recommend that a beginner start with a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that there must have been maybe three people over there using the block and hammer. Mm-hmm. Or, does that mean they're inexperienced?
No. Barb was one of the fastest ones down there.
Most of your shuckers that don't have a machine are either afraid of them or can't afford them.
Mm-hmm. They're expensive.
Now, Sarah, the first lady on the backside where Nanette was at, she got her hand in the machine this past spring.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost about 2 months' worth. And then we had another one that was two stalls down from her that got her hand in her machine and cut one finger off.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on the block, back on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I got my thumb in the machine. But I just cut mine. I didn't lose but 2 weeks' worth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I was used to Yuki Creamer machine like she has.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just bought this Roy Smith machine a month. I've been stuck on it 1 month. Since then, my husband has moved the blades up higher so that the guard, you have a guard on each side of the opening for the butt of your hand and your fingers. And you have a guard at the top to help keep your thumb from going in the opening where the oyster goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my blades were so far down that the top guard wasn't doing me any good. And that's how I got my thumb in. So since then, he's reversed the spacers in it and put the blades up higher.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is it that the machine does that helps you open
breaks
the oysters?
The
machine knocks the end off of the oyster.
Instead of having to hit it with a hammer, the machine will break the tip off.
So it's faster.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're shucking muddy oysters, it's cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you hit a muddy oyster with a hammer, you splatter mud all on your face and your hair and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody
machine
around.
Looks cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get as tired on the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can shuck more oysters before you get as tired.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it like that, because you get tired.
Mm-hmm. How did people go? When you started, were there other ways of doing it besides the block? Or was that
just
what everyone
hammer.
Did?
Well, now, some people... Some people heal them. That you have a knife that's for healing, which has a stronger blade. And that's, you open it. If you heal it, you open it from the butt end, where the hinges on the shells are at.
So what is the heel then?
The heel is where your oyster is clamped together.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a neighbor one time that could chuck 8 to 12, 13 gallons a day by healing them. Most shuckers can heal,
mm-hmm.
but they use that at home.
Mm-hmm.
For shucking oysters at home, you'll sit down and shuck you a few to eat or something.
Mm-hmm.
But not a whole lot of them does it in oyster houses, but a few of them still do.
Mm-hmm. Now, after Quality Seafood, did you come directly to the place you're working at now, or are there other houses that you work at?
Oh, no, I've shucked several houses over the years. When I first started working for Grady Levins, he didn't have this house that he has now. He started out in the old Seminole house, which was on the other side of the bridge, under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still there or not.
Yeah, it's about
torn down,
Oh, I know the one you mean,
yeah.
That's where Grady started out. He didn't have this conveyor belt and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He had regular stalls.
Well, they're the only ones that have the conveyor belt.
Right.
The other ones shovel them up out of the floor with a flat oyster shovel and throw them into the shucker stall.
So you just got to step out of the way
while
they toss them in there?
Uh-huh. They call them house men.
Mm-hmm.
They shovel them out of bins, and that's behind the shuckers, and they'll fill the stall up, shovel the oysters up in the stall.
Mm-hmm.
But Grady's the only one that's got the belt.
Hmm.
Grady got that idea from Kirvin's clam house.
Oh, yeah. Well, it seems to be a very efficient system, and I see you have little doors there that you
mm-hmm.
can bring the oysters in.
You can chuck more gallons that way because you don't have to stop and wait for the boy to throw the oysters up in your stall.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the arrangement between the shuckers, that is you two, and the person or the company that owns the shucking house? Are you his employees, or how does that work?
Most of your oyster houses, you're considered self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, the government of the state, one or the other, is trying to get it so that all seafood workers will be self-employed. That will do away with workman's comp and having your Social Security and income tax held out on you. See, that's one reason I like to work at Grady's.
Mm-hmm.
He holds out Social Security income tax, and he also has workman's comp.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your other oyster houses, if you get your hand in the machine, then you pay the hospital bill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose time off from work, you don't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
But at Grady's, the 2 weeks I was off from work, I got workman's comp for the time I lost. And they paid my hospital bill, which was almost $900.
Wow. So do you have to work a certain number of hours or days of the week?
Well, Grady has rules at his house. If you miss over 2 working days, you lose your stock. And if you come to work, unless we give out of oysters, you have to shuck 5 gallons before you leave. That's a shucker gets the good stalls are at the head of the belt.
We on the tail end.
Why are they better up forward?
Because by the time they get down to where we're at, you have a lot of the trash left. The larger oysters fall into the front stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And when they run them on down to where we're at, then most of what's left is shells, and you get a lot of shells and stuff knocked off at the larger oyster.
Uh-huh.
Then we get that.
Well, how is it decided who gets what stalls then?
The longest
seniority.
Oh.
And that's why Grady finally made the rules about. He's had the rule about the 5 gallons a day for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just started the missing two working days.
Mm-hmm.
Because. Well, for example, a few weeks ago we had 2 shuckers that came in and the oysters were real bad.
Mm-hmm.
They were trashy. What
mm-hmm.
They were really half-shell oysters. But we had to shuck them. And so they shucked a gallon and they left and went to another house where they had better oysters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they had been working for Grady for something like 5 or 6 or 7 years. And they just didn't believe that they would get fired.
Mm-hmm.
When a shucker gets a good stall, they don't hardly quit.
Is it?
But they got fired.
Hmm. Is it being up forward the only important thing about keeping your same stall, or are there other kinds?
You get to move up.
Well, no, that's not what he's talking about. By having your own stall,
mm-hmm.
whatever time you go to work. That's your stall and nobody's in it, and you can go right straight to work.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have your own stall, say, if Grady wasn't shucking and I went to another oyster house and they had regular shuckers, I would have to wait until... most shuckers have about a certain time they go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Say 7, 7.30, 8, 8.30, 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to start at 9 or 10 o'clock, but some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have to wait until they knew that shucker wasn't coming unless she called in and told them that she wasn't coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
you could sit around and wait
yeah.
an hour or two and still not get to work.
I see. Yeah.
So that's why a shucker is assigned a stall. In any oyster house, a shucker has her own stall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How do you arrange your stalls? Are there things that you would do to make it comfortable for you to work? Or more convenient.
I take me a fan.
Yeah, sorry, plugging that
she
in there.
She takes half of the house.
I take my cassette player, and I listen to the music, and it helps keep me from getting as tired.
Helps keep me from talking, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I cannot shuck and talk. I'm the type of person, when I talk, I've got to look at you.
Mm-hmm.
And
if somebody's talking to me, I'm hard of hearing. Especially over all the noise, I have to stop in order to listen to what they're saying. So I just put my headphones over my ears because the radio gets on a lot of other shuckers' nerves,
mm-hmm.
Which it does mine if it's not close enough where I can hear it and understand what it's saying. It gets on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So I use my headphones and the little portable cassette player.
Mm-hmm.
And I take my fan.
Yeah.
They have air conditioning at Grady's, but it's not cool enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have air conditioning. It's not cool enough either.
And I'm freezing.
Yeah.
She's sweating.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have one daughter that shucks oysters. I have 3 daughters that shucks oysters, that knows how to shuck oysters. And this one has trouble with veins in her wrist. Mm-hmm. So she gets her board, something like a 2x4 or a 4x4, mm-hmm. and lays it down in front of her stall, and she rests the back of her hand on that board when she cuts the bottom eye out of the shell.
Supports her, her wrist.
That keeps a lot of the strain off of her wrist.
Oh, so it's not like in the air while she's doing it? She's got it down on something?
Yeah, the hand that's like holding the oyster.
You do like this, and then I take mine like that and cut it, mm-hmm. but she puts hers down on the stall to cut her oyster out and then flips it in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little tiny thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. She weighs about 86 pounds.
She might weigh that much now.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that everyone was standing on a platform of some kind. Why do you do that?
You have a stool. Depends on how tall you are, how high the stool is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can shuck in three different oyster houses, and you might need three different stools because the stalls won't be the same height in every oyster house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have my own personal stool. It has my name on it. I have my own personal bucket. Has my name on it. Some shuckers don't like big buckets, which is a 2-gallon bucket.
Like I have.
Mm-hmm.
And some shuckers don't like a small bucket, which is a 1-gallon bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them don't like the 2-gallon buckets because they're heavier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to be sure I get the size I want, since I do have a bad back, I have my own personal 1-gallon bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it back and forth every day.
How do you arrange? Now, I see all the oysters in there that are coming off the conveyor. Are there other things that you put in there, or do you put the oysters in a certain arrangement within your stall?
No, you shuck them like the throat in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people like to have buckets in different places, too. I like mine pushed in the back, some in the front.
You don't arrange your oysters.
No, they just
you pick
fall
them up. The best way is to pick them up, closest one to you.
Mm-hmm.
You start in the front of the stall, closest to you. And the worst thing in the world is to pick the big ones out and leave the little ones to the last.
Because then you're tireder and you still got to shuck them little ones.
Mm-hmm.
So shuck them as you come to them and start at the front of your stall.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about your knife? Is any old knife good for that?
No, most shuckers have their preferences.
Yeah, how about you? What kind of knife would you
prefer? I like the homemade knife.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kane, he knows it.
And I like a long blade, a wide blade, and I can't hold a shuck with a knife that does not have a tilted point on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's different sizes.
If it's not tilted enough, mm-hmm. I'll take a hammer and tilt it myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you go about picking out a knife? Does Mr. Kane come with a bunch of them and you choose what you
want?
We
go to his house.
You go to his house?
Uh-huh. Okay. And once you hit on one that you like, and you tell him, and you buy from him regular, he learns you what
mm-hmm.
you like.
Hmm.
And he's an old man.
Mm-hmm.
But my girls can go and tell him Mama wants a new knife, and he knows what Mama wants.
Mm.
She wants a big handle and a wide, long blade.
But I prefer the smaller handle.
She has a smaller hand.
You mean in length
or round,
big around?
Big around.
Oh,
she
yeah.
likes the big round ones, and I like
the homemade knives
the little
have PVC handles.
Yeah.
And she likes. Now he makes three different sizes.
Round
handles.
And she likes the middle size.
Mm-hmm.
I like the largest, but he makes one smaller than what she gets.
Does the blade shape vary much?
Mm-hmm. You get long ones, long and narrow ones. You can get long and fat ones, short and fat ones.
Why?
If I'm shucking bay oysters, I like the shorter, narrower blades. If I'm shucking shipped-in oysters, I want the long, wide blade.
A wide-bladed knife will last you longer because you have to shorten so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me started on the wide blade. I have to have a sharp knife all the time.
How often would you sharpen?
Sometimes I sharpen mine 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. Sometimes I sharpen it. I sharpen them every night.
Mm-hmm.
I always sharpen them before I start every morning.
Yeah. What do you use to sharpen
them?
At home I use grinder. Most times I use a grinder.
You have an electric grinder?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, I keep 3 or 4 knives at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I don't have to stop and sharpen that one when it gets dull.
Where do you keep your extra knives?
I have a bag, like a pocketbook,
mm-hmm.
that I keep my cassette players in, and I keep my gloves in, My husband says I haul everything but the kitchen sink to go over town.
Well, it's nice to be comfortable and
I
have everything you need.
I take my own sugar and coffee make because I can't keep any in the office where they make the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep my own.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the door.
You need to have extra gloves, rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wear the knit gloves, but the law is, state laws are getting more and more against the cotton and the knit gloves. Because they say that you can't wash the mud out of them.
Could you use a wooden handle knife if you wanted to?
Yes, but they're also getting more and more against that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say that you can't clean them as good.
Mm-hmm.
The wood absorbs the mud more.
Mm-hmm.
I have found since I started using the homemade knives that they don't put the calluses on my hand as bad as the wooden knives.
Hmm.
Wooden handle knives.
Hmm.
Everybody's got a callus like that.
Right across the base of their fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, with the wooden handle one, I kept a hard callus right back here.
Down at the heel of your hand.
You get a handle that's too long, I do. If I get a knife with a handle too long, I get a blister right there where it rubs against my
I'm just hand. Opposite.
I don't like that.
The wooden handle knives have shorter handles.
Mm-hmm.
Round.
They're round,
rounder,
but they're short.
On the bottom, too.
Yeah, the end of them are round, where Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Kane's is flat.
Right. Cut straight off.
Uh-huh.
There, yeah.
The store-bought handles are round all over.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of it hits me right at the back of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Where Mr. Kane's knife don't. I mean, it goes further out.
Right.
So I don't have that end working around on the back of my hand.
What do you like to wear while you're working?
Jeans.
It depends on the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeans.
Until the dog flies started biting, I wore the split skirts.
Uh-huh.
And then dog flies started getting bad. So I went back to my jeans. In the wintertime, I wear jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand my feet stay wet, so I wear rubber boots.
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
a lot of
sneakers.
The shuckers
mm-hmm.
wear sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand wet, my feet wet all day.
That's why I don't wear socks.
Yeah.
Just the cotton,
mm-hmm.
cotton tennis shoes. But during the winter, most everybody wears rubber boots because your feet stay wet
mm-hmm.
and cold.
Mm-hmm.
And the law says you have to wear a plastic apron.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic or apron.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic or can
canvas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something that will
water.
Keep the water
mm-hmm.
and the mud off of
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you can wash and get clean.
Yeah.
You see that?
Now some shuckers, if they get by with it, won't wear apron.
Yeah.
If they do, they'll tie it
so that
it just goes around the waist like a kitchen apron.
Oh yeah.
But the law says you have to have an apron that comes up with the string around your neck.
Well, I think you'd want to because that stuff really
flies.
I do.
I do too. I get dirty anyway. I really would be in bad shape.
Does the grinding of the shell bother anyone's breathing at all?
Oh yes. Your nose will get full of the dust from the machines. And it's worse in air conditioned door slams.
It's worse then?
Uh-huh.
Because it's circulating around the room?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can't get out. Not many oyster houses are air conditioned, though.
Well, you have more than what you used to have.
Yeah.
A Flowers oyster house.
They're not anymore.
They had the Wonder units. They had two Wonder units, one on each side, because they had the stalls on each side of the house, and then their bins would run down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Wonder unit on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered some of the shuckers so bad that they put the plastic stuff up, like Grady's got. Grady's
right.
Just put that up.
Yeah, yeah.
But Flowers had that a good while back.
Mm-hmm.
It lets a little more. It'll hold in a good bit of the air conditioning, but it's not as airtight as doors.
Right. I gotta flip this tape over.
In a minute.
About 5 more minutes.
What is, you talked about mild oysters and cup oysters. Are there other names to describe shapes or sizes of oysters?
Well, you have cup oysters, and you have scissorbill oysters.
Mm-hmm.
Your scissorbill oyster is longer and will have a thinner bill on it.
Mm-hmm.
a cup oyster. Your cup oysters will get big, but they're deeper and they'll have a thicker oyster inside the shell.
Mm-hmm.
What I like best is the ones that's in between.
Mm-hmm.
They have a deep cup to them, but they'll thin down to a thin bill like your scissor bills. And we call that a cup scissor bill.
A combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
What's a coon oyster?
A coon oyster is an oyster that needs to be put in a different area so it'll grow. A coon oyster won't get big. And most of the time they grow in big clumps.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be broken apart.
Mm-hmm.
And moved into deeper water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll grow. As long as they're left on a coon bar, they won't grow.
Mm-hmm. How come it's got that name? Any idea?
Most of your coon bar is most of the time is out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
The oysters, you know, you might have just a little bit of water come up on it. But most of the oyster will be out, stay out of the water,
mm-hmm.
except when the tide comes in real high or something.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess around here we have a lot of coons.
Yeah.
And I guess they call them coon bars because, and most of the time they are closer in shore.
Mm-hmm.
And a coon can get out there and walk on around on the bar almost any time.
Uh-huh. I see.
So I assume that's where it got the name.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Any other names like that for different types of oysters? We're just talking about coon oysters and cup oysters and wild oysters. Are there other pin scissors and cup scissors?
We mostly call oysters around here by where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
We have cat point oysters and we have mile oysters and bio oysters and
Platform.
Green point oysters. Kirvin had them.
Lease.
Two leases right off of Cat Point. And so most of your bars have a name. Over in East Point, they have one named Monkey's Elbow.
What is it?
Monkey's Elbow.
Monkey's Elbow.
Hotel. They got one called Hotel. Platforms. Then they got one called The Plants.
That's where they planted off to the plants.
Oh, yeah.
And what at Goose Island?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were to bring in, say, a dozen oysters in my hands here, and they're all from the bay out here, could you tell me where they were from?
An oysterman could most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Cat Point oyster, you could tell.
What would you say? How would you recognize that?
Because they're... Because they're smaller, and they're... They're not as they got a different color light,
mm-hmm.
and they're
oyster shells will have a different
color
mm-hmm. according to where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. They got a brown kind of color, cat point oyster does, and the plants has got the big burrs, so they'll have more scissorbill oysters. Cat point's got mostly cups, and East Hole's got the big cups.
East Hole has a greenish color to it.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Now, Cat Point used to have greenish colored shells on them until they built the St. George Island Bridge. And they put that field
mm-hmm.
across there,
mm-hmm.
it changed the flow of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You could hardly get an oyster shucker to shuck Cat Point oysters because the shells were rotten,
mm-hmm.
real crumbly. When you would hit one with a hammer, it would crumble in your hand. They turned out real good. A catcher could make good money off of them if he could get enough shuckers to shuck them.
Yeah.
But it took a shucker so long to shuck a gallon of them because you'd have to get the shells off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Until you couldn't hardly get a shucker to shuck them.
Mm-hmm.
You take a shucker that could shuck, say, 7 or 8 gallons of oysters from anywhere else in a day,
mm-hmm.
would shuck 4, 5, or 6 gallons a day of Cat Point oysters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like that now.
But then when they put after they put that fill in over
mm-hmm.
there, the oysters change colors and the shell, they change shapes.
Mm. That's interesting.
They used to be a cup-like oyster.
Mm-hmm.
And when you shook that, you had a good thick oyster.
Here comes a future oyster now.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be an oyster in this bay by the time he gets old enough to.
He's ready. He's oyster. Dragging his mat home.
What's your favorite place to get oysters from to shuck? If you had to choose one place.
Well, before the hurricane, I liked these toll oysters.
I'm not an East Point shucker.
See, that's where I mainly have shucked at, is East Point.
Yeah.
Most shuckers have their preference according to which side of the bay that they work on.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a microphone. You want to hear something interesting? Come here. Put this in your ear and you'll hear us talking.
Now, I used to like to shuck St. Vincent oysters, but over the years, St. Vincent doesn't have that many oysters.
It's cake.
St. Vincent used to have the best taste. Mom, it's cake.
Many of
the best flavor. And they were a deep cup oyster. And they would run from small to medium size most of the time. But they were so thick, when you got them shucked out, the little tiny ones, you could shuck a gallon of them and nothing flat. But on a hammer, it was like trying to crack cement.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But after I got on the machine, you could make good time.
Now we've talked about your equipment a bit and the clothing. Can you describe what a typical day is like from the time you start in the morning, all the things that you do during the day?
Well, if you make money, you stand in that stall and you shuck.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about oyster shucking is you can work according to how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel pretty good, you get up there and you can shuck like crazy all day long.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel kind of bad, you can take it a little bit easier. You won't make as much money. You can go down and make you a little bit of money,
mm-hmm.
even though you don't feel very good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
But you can stop and start it like you want to. You can go to work what time you want to.
Yeah.
And you can knock off what time you want to. According to how much you need the money and
yeah.
how hard you feel like working.
What time of day do you like to begin?
Ordinarily, at Grady's, I start at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't have a car, so I'm going with her to get the kids off to school first. So we get there between 8 and 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And Grady, even in the best of shucking season, Grady knocking off time is 4 o'clock.
You didn't even try.
Unless he really needs an oyster, then you might get shut to 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock once in a while.
I don't
want
to hear
now. Today you stopped at what time?
About 1:30.
Is that pretty typical, or you?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been getting through between anywhere from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you want to stop.
No, that's
when
we give out of oyster. That's when they knock us off.
Okay.
Oysters are scarce right now, even from Louisiana.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, about oysters from other states. Now, why are they coming to Apalachicola for you to work on?
Well, they've been hauling Louisiana oysters in here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They just started hauling Louisianas when I started shucking about 6 years ago. When they first started really getting them in.
Well, they had been hauling in some before that. Even before that, they brought some in from Virginia, Maryland. And I suppose they pay a good price for the bags, but the bags are about twice the size of our bags.
Mm-hmm.
So, say right now, they pay our catchers $10 or $12 for a 60-pound bag, and they pay $13 to $17 for an 80-something or 100-pound bag from out west. Some of them has their own trucks and haul them in here on. And they have to keep up the truck. Some of them get them off of somebody else's truck.
Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that they bring them here, does that mean that there are no shuckers or not enough shuckers in the places where they come from?
No. And we've been told that they can buy them already shucked from Louisiana cheaper than they can haul them in here and pay a shucker to shuck them. I don't know how true that is. That's what they say.
That's interesting.
But the reason they haul them in here now is because we don't have enough oysters.
Mm-hmm.
We have more oyster houses than you can stir with stick. And Louisiana is playing out of oysters now.
Mm-hmm.
So so I don't know what they're going
to do.
Your Texas oysters, the majority of them are too small for shucking. They haul them in out of Texas for wash boxes, half shell oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And they haul them in from Louisiana for the shucking stock. They can get more selects from the shipped in oysters than they could the ones here. And I believe that's why they really started it.
Now, what is a select anyway? What does that mean?
A select oyster won't go over 32 oysters to a pint.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be from 28 to 32 oysters to a pint.
Are there other grades like that of oysters?
Let's see. I forget what they call those largest ones. They don't go over 15 oysters to a pint.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your standards. You could have 395 pint of them.
Now, at what rate are you paid? Is it?
We're paid by the pint, by the gallon. By the gallon, then if you have pints, you get it. What you get paid for a gallon is divided by 8, and then you get that for per each pint.
So it's oysters of all different sizes that are going into your container, and when you get a gallon, you.
Where we're shucking, that's the way it is.
Uh-huh.
And some oyster houses, not
pick.
They pick them. They have two buckets, and the largest ones go in one bucket, and the rest of them go in another bucket.
That's a pain.
Mm-hmm.
Used to. See, and I would have to adjust to some of these changes since I have been shucking so long. Used to, you got 50 cents a gallon more by picking the large oysters out.
Uh-huh.
And every time you took up a gallon of the selects, that was 50 cents more than your other bucket was. But now, not so.
Mm.
You get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at Nick Shivers, when I was having to pick, he just paid a straight quarter more a gallon.
Well, I could live with that.
Mm-hmm.
For your standards and your selects, because you had to pick both gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid just a quarter more.
Mm-hmm.
Grady picks them in the skimmer room.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the way most of them do, pick them in the skimmer room. That way they ain't got to pay nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie Wilson, Shuckers, has to pick them, and he don't pay nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What houses do you consider the best ones to work at?
I make my best money at Grady's.
Mm-hmm.
I shuck for Leroy Allen. I shuck for Sammy Crum until he went out of business. For my preference, I prefer a small oyster house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as noisy. You don't have as many shuckers to squabble and get mad at each other. You don't have as many housemen to get mad at you because you don't like the way they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I left Leroy's because of a shucker and the man that was running the oyster house.
Mm-hmm. How big is a big oyster house? If Grady's is a smaller one, how big do they get with numbers of shuckers?
Oh, Nick Shivers got about 50 stalls.
Wow.
Leroy has almost 40 stalls.
Mm.
Now, George Kirvin had 67 stalls.
Mm.
And that was years ago, before she was born.
Mm. What did the oyster houses look like in the past compared to the one that you work in now?
The same, really. Don't.
Not the one I work in now.
No, not Levin's, but Levin's is the only one with the belt.
Levin's the only one that's really changed.
The rest of them, I can remember when Daddy Oyster going in there, and they look just like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your houses will have the stalls running down the middle of the house and have the bins against the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have the stalls against the walls, and they have the
bins
in the middle.
Are they made out of stainless steel like yours are?
Cement.
Cement.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What does the houseman do? What's his job?
At Grady's or in a regular oyster house?
Well, both. Tell me about
well, Grady's
both.
Is different than the other one, see, because Grady's the only one that's modernized.
Uh-huh.
Grady's housemen, they have to wash the oysters for half shell. And they have to dump the bags on the conveyor for the shuckers.
They pick the...
He swaps them on the belt. Each man that he has working for him takes his day on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the shuckers get through, they have to go in and clean the shells up out the floor and wash everything down.
How many housemen are there at Grady's now?
goodness.
How many work there today, for example? I noticed there were two or three
today
guys.
Today was very unusual because they're going to have to work tomorrow, so we didn't even have a half of a crew.
Well,
he has about four or five
dock workers is what I call them.
Well,
they don't work in the house. I mean, they work on the docks. They pick through the oysters, the washed oysters.
They all work in the house some. If you'll notice.
Yeah, not as much.
We have less turnover in the house, in the oyster house now, since Grady hired so many of the Negro boys.
Mm-hmm.
Up until just a few weeks ago, Grady didn't have but one or two of the Negro boys working.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's gone more that way, and he puts them on the belt most of the time.
Now, on the belt, was that what the fellow
That's
was doing, shoveling up above there? The guy that was shoveling onto the conveyor
right.
belt?
So when he's shoveling, that is, we're shucking what they call throwouts. They have washed the bags and picked out the ones that they want, the size that they want for the half shell, to go into washed boxes for half shell.
Mm-hmm.
And what they throw out that won't do for the half shell sales, they put in these stainless steel bins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're put up on that table, and he shovels them out onto the belt, and we shuffle.
And what are the other housemen doing while this fellow is working on the belt?
Most of the time they're washing the oysters to go for half shell.
Now, is there someone who's in charge of the housemen and the shuckers?
Darren.
Okay, what do you call his job?
I call him straw boss. Bill, is, Grady is the boss.
Yeah.
And Bill is the one that runs it for Grady.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren is under Bill. If something comes up that Darren can't handle, he goes to Bill.
Is that the system in other houses
no.
too? How is it different?
You have either the person that owns the place runs it, or he has some one man hired that runs the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have housemen.
Mm-hmm.
The housemen don't run the house.
All right. They do is shovel oysters. They do the
they
labor.
They do the manual labor.
Mm-hmm. Are these people who are in charge of the house, who don't own the house, or are they called straw bosses, or is there another term?
That's all
no,
the models were.
Yeah, okay.
That's just what I call it,
yeah,
straw
yeah.
boss. I guess you would call it foreman.
But there's no
Compared
general
to,
term that people
no.
use, just Bill or Joe or Daryl or whoever it might
Darren.
Be.
If you just know who to go talk to if you need something done.
Mm-hmm.
At Leroy Allen's, Leroy says he runs the house, but he really don't. Chuck does.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck is one that sees if the oysters are brought in, or he brings them in. He washes the gallons, and he runs the blower. He packs the oysters. He ices them down.
Who is that?
Chuck.
Yeah.
But
well, you said to know the person that to talk to when you need something done. What would you need done? For example,
like Mama always needs the bolt put back on her door because she keeps tearing it out.
The oysters tears it out.
Yeah.
I have to get Darren to get me a bolt go in that door that we lift up, let the oysters into the stall. They put a bolt through a hole in the middle of that door.
That's your little handle, or is that just holds
that's
it
the little
on?
Handle.
Oh, I see. Okay. Anything
and,
else you need help with?
Well.
Hey, Derek, go watch TV with Haley.
If you need to take your machine home at
take
night,
you a break.
Get sharpened or worked on.
Take you a break.
You can
here.
Get it to come, get your machine out of your stall for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them are real hard to get out of these brackets.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens to your stew and you need it fixed, you go to Dara or whoever, wherever you work.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't do it, he'll get somebody to do it.
I see.
He's not necessarily the one that does everything, but he's the one that you go tell that it needs to be done, and he'll get see that it's done.
I see. What are the busiest times of year for you?
Usually, November through March, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Oysters are the best to eat. From November to February.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll have times in between there, they get too fat.
Yeah.
They get milky, as they call it.
And that, does that affect the taste?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They taste cockney-like when they get milky.
They don't have the
really
law.
No taste. They're real fresh, and they're real white.
Are there times of the year when the consistency of the oyster makes it more difficult to get them out of the shell?
When they're poor.
They
the eye gets tougher
to
when they're poor.
When they're poor?
Uh-huh.
When would that be?
Now.
Summer.
Right now?
Now.
Yeah. And what causes them to be like that?
Hot water.
The warm weather.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And more salt water.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some fresh water and cool weather to make the oysters get fat
and
taste good.
Mm-hmm. And grow.
In the summer, a lot of times in the summer, they get so salty, I can't hardly eat them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll burn your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get full of spawn. I don't like them then.
Mm-hmm.
They have a seaweedy-like taste.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like chewing bubble gum.
Do you both eat a lot of oysters?
I do.
Yeah.
I eat Apalachicola oysters. I don't eat no shucked in oysters.
Alabama oysters are good.
I don't eat no shipped in oysters. If they don't come out of this bay, I don't eat them.
Alabama oysters are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They're the closest I've tasted from here.
Yeah. I ask that because a lot of people who work in various ways with food all the time just say, well, I've been looking at this stuff for 6 hours today. I'm not going to eat it, you know.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I remember when I was in high school, a friend of mine had a job working at an ice cream place. And the first day on the job, they told her, well, you can eat all the ice cream you want.
Yeah, they knew it wasn't going to last.
That's right. And she did for 3 or 4 days. Poor got sick of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was fine. I was just wondering if oyster shuckers
would be so if the oysters tasted good all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, you only have certain months in the wintertime that they're really good.
Uh-huh.
Now, when the oysters get in good shape and have a good flavor to them, a lot of times I'll stand in my stall and that's to shut me out some eat. Instead of taking a sandwich or something, I just eat some raw oysters. But now, like right now, well, I don't eat very many shipped in oysters either.
Yeah.
I don't eat any shipped in oysters in the summertime. But you'll find that most shuckers, wherever the shucker comes from, that place has the best oysters.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't nothing like Apalachicola oysters.
Mm-hmm. People in Cedar Keys think they have the best tasting oysters in the world.
Mm-hmm.
To me, my husband can't even eat them at all. They have a bitter taste to them.
Oh, yeah.
Like an aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
But
like diet
to them, they're the best. Around Swanee River oysters are the best there is. But Apalachicola is the best oysters there
yeah.
are in the country.
Well, it's like getting used to the way your mother fries chicken or
that's
something,
right.
I suppose.
Right.
That's
the type of particular oyster that you're used to eating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that you've learned to like.
Mm-hmm.
Your Louisiana oysters, a lot of time, will have an oily taste. Depends on how close around one of those oil rigs they came from. And they'll have a blackish look to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of people today mentioned finding pearls in oysters. Does that happen very often?
Oh, yeah. Very common.
What do you do with it?
I got a jewelry box full of them.
Some people save them. I don't even look for them.
Where would you look if you were looking for them?
Fat part, the belly?
What we call the belly part. But I have seen right here recently in the Louisiana oysters, it'd be nothing to have but to see one that is just slammed full of. I mean, a big oyster would have anywhere from 20 to 40 little tiny pearls.
Mm-hmm. Do people ever make anything out of them around here?
If they get them big enough.
What might they make them into?
Amy's
earring.
Got some earring.
Yeah.
Earring, necklace.
People think of that as lucky to find them?
Some do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them are not pretty.
Yeah.
Some of them are pearly white. Some of them are almost black.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are so little you can't do anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just say.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know about that.
Sweet.
I did that one time and put them up and they changed colors, so I said it.
People ever have any, shockers have anything they do for good luck or to keep away bad luck when they're shocking? Like it seems to me kind of dangerous with your cracking machines and so on. And a lot of occupations like that, well, like fishing, oftentimes there are a lot of things about good luck and bad luck that fishermen believe in, about things they should bring on the boat or not bring on, things of that nature. Do shuckers have any beliefs like that?
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. You just put keep a healthy respect for your machine. And
it rolls.
Never hurts leaving the Lord. I know on the boats a lot, they have a lot of superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
You do not say alligator on a boat or trucking boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's taboo. My husband like threw me overboard one day when I said it.
Well, let's say you were on a boat with your husband and there was an alligator in the water, would you use some other word to describe it? Or?
No.
Say, Herbert, there's an alligator.
You don't see a whole lot of gators out in the bay.
Yeah.
No. We did a good bit of our shrimping on the outside beach. But I don't suppose you'd say anything else. If it was a gator, you'd say gator. But it's supposed to be bad luck to say gator on a boat. On
any
a shrimp
other,
boat.
Any other superstitions that you know about like that?
You don't turn the hatch cover upside down.
Hmm.
You're on a shrimp boat, you have the holes that you put the shrimp in, and it has these wooden tops that
mm-hmm.
goes over.
Mm-hmm.
You don't turn those bottom side up.
Hmm.
That's bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
You pick it up, but you either lean it up or you pick it up and set it over, but you
right.
never, never turn one bottom side up.
Hmm.
That's just a no-no.
Hmm. Any types of food that you shouldn't bring aboard?
No.
You should definitely have saltine crackers.
Saltine crackers?
Saltine crackers. If you have a tendency to get seasick,
oh, yeah.
Saltine crackers are dill pickles help to settle your stomach.
What about colors or any particular colors that you should or shouldn't paint your boat?
Daddy said never write five girls on it.
He had a small bay shrimp boat one time and he named it the Five Girls.
Yeah.
And he had the worst luck of that boat of anybody's ever had. So he
we
said never name one
on the big
Five
wheels,
Girls.
Okay?
Oh.
And then we'll
but
then
no my husband always liked his boats gray or green.
Mm-hmm.
You want a color that won't absorb the heat so bad sometimes.
Go down the hall.
End of tape 1. Interview continued on tape 2.